Looking to get rewarded just for spending? With our You Choose debit card's reward program, you can earn points every time you swipe. Redeem your points for cash back, gift cards, travel, and more. It's your money. It pays to spend smarter. Enroll today and make your debit card work as hard as you do. Visit Security State Bank today and start earning with You Choose Rewards at no cost to you. Security State Bank, small enough to listen, big enough to help. Member FDIC.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
If someone you loved died by suicide, grief doesn't follow a timeline. NAMI Sheridan offers a suicide loss therapeutic support group, a free clinician-led space for support and understanding. Meetings are on the second and fourth Mondays of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Pre-registration is required. Call 307-202-8117 to sign up and get location details. You are not alone.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, November 18th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan College Associate Professor of Theater and Chair of Innovation and Online Learning, Dr. Lauren Graffin Estrada, and Sheridan College theater student, Emmylou Justice. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Doc, you and I were talking about this just a little bit. It's been too long since I've had you on.
Yes.
We need to get you on here more. How's this semester been this year?
This semester's been great. We're really lucky. We have a wonderful bunch of students. So I think when you get to go to work every day with people you like, that's always awesome, right?
It doesn't feel like work, right?
No, it doesn't feel like work. And I get to make theater all day, every day. So already it doesn't feel like work because there's just so much joy in my day. So I'm lucky.
Within the theater department, what section is it or what class would it be where you read a play and then you've got to sit down, analyze it, and turn in a paper discussing themes or intent?
That happens in a couple of different spots, I guess. I mean, we analyze plays from lots of different angles. So when you look at theater practice, which is our show, you analyze a play and you start to think about what's the meaning in this show, what's the objective for my character. You start to break that down from that perspective for performance. But then if you go to something like theatrical backgrounds, which is a history class, you start to look at historical texts and look at the context that they happen in and start to analyze why they're significant for that particular time period and what the meaning is, and you start to kind of analyze it for that. And then you go to a class like playwriting and you start to break down the narrative of the text and how it's shaped, and you really start to analyze different types of play texts and different structures. So I suppose you kind of do it in a lot of different classes, Floyd. For different reasons and for different purposes, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of leads to my next question. Purpose. Does every single play have to contain like underlying themes or absolute purpose? Are there plays out there that are just fun?
Yeah.
Just scary?
You know, I think it's really interesting. That for me opens up a wider question. I think, you know, what is the purpose of theater? Are we here to entertain? Are we here to people question what's happening in the world, right? And I think different playwrights have different intentions for their work. I do think there's some plays that you go to see that are for entertainment value and escapism, and that's absolutely okay. But yeah, I think there is a much wider question about what's the purpose of theater. And if you look at things like, I don't know, Samuel Beckett, where he kind of throws the entire structure of the play out the window and we watch Waiting for Godot and literally nothing happens for an hour and a half and people are like, I don't get it. And you kind of go, yeah, but you have to embed it in the context of modernism, what that meant post-World War II, and right? I think for every writer, it's a little bit different what the intention of their work is, but I think it's absolutely fine if you want to go watch something for escapism and fun, because there's time in life when you need that. The same reason you watch, you know, shows that you might be embarrassed to tell people you watch on Netflix.
Yeah. We all have that list, don't we?
Or you go and you watch it because it's easy and it's fun and it's light and it's escapism. And then you watch other things because you want to be challenged, right?
Yeah.
I think theater can be a lot of different things depending on what you need.
Emmylou, what was it that drew you towards the theater department?
Oh, that's a long answer, Boyd. I've done theater. I've been on stage since I was about 5 years old. I started with Sunshine Singers at the YMCA.
Oh, wow.
And ever since then, I've just like been on stage. I've loved being on stage. I think specifically what drew me back into the theater was the human connection that comes with theater. I love every human is so interesting and every story is so interesting. And all the people I've met in my life, I like to show the truth of that on stage. I love telling stories and I love telling human stories. And that has just like continued to draw me back on stage over and over again, the older I've gotten and the more people I've gotten to know in my life.
When it comes to certain plays that really attract you to auditioning for them, mm-hmm. is there an aspect to that? Is it like, okay, this one's got a theme, I can see it, and I want to really go in there and emphasize that? Or kind of like what the doctor and I were just discussing, you're reading this play and you're thinking, you know what, this is just silly fun. I think I want to just go have silly fun.
I think that it kind of depends on like where I'm at. Sometimes I want to say something really serious. The Sheridan Civic Theater Guild did a production in March of a play, a show by Eve Ensler, who is a women's rights activist. And that's really like the first really serious thing that I've ever done. It talks about a lot about like women's sexuality and what it's like to be a woman in America. And it was written in the 90s and was this big movement and it's still performed today. And I wanted to like dig my teeth into some like really serious material. But there's also like a time and a place for the silly, the escapism. And even though something is silly, it doesn't mean it still doesn't say something at the end of the day. Everything that we put forward as art says something, yeah. even if it's not super deep or introspective, it does say something. Stories have a purpose, even if it is just to be silly, but there's still some underlying thing that maybe the author didn't mean, but someone who's listening to it picks up on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I resonate with that a lot.
That's great. Yeah. The audience in many cases dictates the meaning
Absolutely.
Behind art. That's something that I talk to artists about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you create this thing, you put it out in the world. You were trying to say this, but they hear or see that. And I'm always curious as to how people feel about that. When they create something that they wanted to be heavy. And then all of a sudden someone's like, wow, that was funny. And people are like, well, it wasn't intended to be, you know.
There's a whole area of theater studies, performance studies called reception studies. And it studies how things are received and how we interpret things and how we deduce meaning from things that happen on stage. And a lot of it is uncontrollable, but you'd be surprised by how much of it is not. So when you think about, here's a silly example, but when you look at traffic lights, right? We read them the same, right? We know red means stop, we mean green, we know green means go. The stage is essentially lots of different signs that we read. And some of them we understand, like when we see someone is sad on stage, we understand that they are sad, right? So in a lot of ways we have shared interpretations of what we see on stage, and then we have the moments where they deviate. We read bodies a little differently, lots of different people's bodies. We read moments differently. So it's this interest and interplay between we have things that we read in a kind of shared way.
Sorry.
We have things that we read in a shared way, and then areas where we kind of have our own individual interpretation. So it can be kind of interesting to see that. But to me, there's something kind of beautiful about that you create a piece of work that means one thing to you, and then you put it out into the world, and then suddenly it takes on this kind of plethora of meanings for lots of different people. Like, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. And then, you know, you teach me something every time you come in here, Doc.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Now, I love that, though. I love it because I get to sit here and think, you know, if I went into theater, I'd really kind of go into what you're talking about, because It's just the idea of putting your heart and soul into something. And then how will that be received? I think there's so many great artists out there who don't take that plunge literally just for that meaning. Two artists I've talked to recently have actually said that. I am more nervous about what they're going to see it as opposed to the creation of it. You know, they know the skill is there, but how is it going to be received? And that's just a really interesting fact.
Because your art feels personal. So if someone doesn't like it, that's hard, right? And you do find that it's a lot easier to critique than it is to do. You know, it's really easy for people to critique other people's work rather than make their own.
What do they call that? Armchair quarterback or something, right?
So that can be tricky, right? That you have to navigate that. But I always think if you feel good about the work that you created and it's what you want it to do, then you have to stay steadfast in that, right? And be comfortable with, you know, other people's reception of it. But know that this was, you know, the truth that you wanted to tell at that particular moment in time.
And Emmylou, as an actress, when you're up there and you're kind of putting your all into a performance, and I'm not sure if people who don't act would ever really understand, but there's been moments in my life where it's like, man, I put everything I had into that. I hope that it was received well, or I hope that they understand what I was trying to say. And many times it's not. I mean, how much emotional investment do you put into every single performance? Is it every time you're like, I'm sinking my teeth in, as you said, deep into this one? Or, hey, you know what? I can play this just a little lighter.
I think specifically talking about this production, every time I am on stage or in rehearsal, I find something new in my lines or in my inflection or in my emotion, because every day I go into rehearsal, I feel a little bit different. I don't, as Emmylou, I don't feel the same way day to day, which means as my characters, they don't feel the same way either, which means I'm able to discover something new. So if there's a day where I maybe don't feel great, I had a low day, I don't feel great, my performance might reflect that, and it might actually lead me to discover like a new moment, a new inflection,
a new way that they might have
a
felt.
New way that my character might have felt it. In my acting one class, we're reading the TJ and Dave improvisation at the speed of life. Thank you. And there have been a lot of stuff that has stuck with me from that book specifically, but that one's very focused on kind of like improv and that genre of theater. But the idea of you're slipping on a character over yourself. And so even if there's a day where like I say I'm not going to dig into it, I still find things. You always find things. I think it's really important that you're always exploring your character, because it doesn't get stale. They become fresh. They become a person and not just words on a page that you are embodying. They become real. And the most believable moments are from places of honesty. If my character, if I'm happy, I might, like going into rehearsal, I will find a different moment than if I'm sad or if I'm low. And so it's this really interesting thing of, in theater, they talk about play a lot. You're always playing. And especially in this production, I feel like every day I go into rehearsal, I play and I explore different. Even the show less than a week away, I still am finding new moments that I'm like, oh, that's really great. Oh, why does she feel like that? Why do they fat? And it's been so fun to just like play and explore those different moments.
No matter how deep or shallow it is, your mental and emotional mind detector is always on.
Yeah.
And you'll find that treasure out there somewhere.
Well, because in real life, you have shallow moments in the day and you have deep moments in the day. A character is a real person, just like you're a real person. And so you have to acknowledge that, like, as a person, as Floyd, you have shallow moments in your day and you have deep moments in your day. So why would a character not have those moments in that same way?
And I imagine that's probably very difficult to try and reflect to an audience who may be there just for an hour,
an hour and a half, and they're seeing everything on that surface level. You know, quick, bam, boom. Okay, did I get that? Did I understand that fully? Now, one thing that we're going to talk about, the reason why you're here, the snow.
Yeah.
Now, this is Finnegan Kruckmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure I said that one right. Wrote The Snow. What was your first impression, Doc, when you read The Snow?
I have actually previously directed a show by this writer. So his writing was familiar to me, but his writing is really attractive to me. Because to me, his work is similar to like the best children's literature. You know, when you were reading your kids' stories and they're silly and they're funny, but they're also kind of incredibly profound. But in this, you know, 12 pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a kid's show and his work is like that. His children's theater is like that, where it's really kind of silly and fun. You know, there's plenty of poop jokes to get the giggles from the children, but then also really kind of quietly profound. And his writing is just gorgeous. The way he puts material together is just lovely. So I love reading his things. His turns of his kind of turn of phrase is so kind of quickly and quietly beautiful. So that was really my impression of the work, was that it was kind of typical to his writing, that it's lovely. And it's about a little boy's courage to go on an adventure and all of the different things that he has to face and the things that different characters have to accept. And yeah, it's gorgeous.
And, you know, stories about courage and valor, people finding it, that fire, they break me every time, Doc. I try to get through them. There are some things I'm like, you know what, I'm a grown up. I'm a man. I can get through this play. And then all of a sudden I'm wiping tears away and just having moments. And my wife is patting me on the arm saying, just let it out. You know,
well, what's interesting too, this story is about these two villages who are at war with one another. And this snow has developed around them and they're all stuck inside. And you see how much they dislike each other, and the whole way through it, the characters just talk trash about each other. And but to solve the snow problem, they have to come together. And there's something really beautiful about that idea to me that I think is so useful, so for so many different reasons, about this idea that even though we don't like each other, even though we don't agree, that we still have to find ways to work together. And this desire to continue to lean towards the other, at least, even if we can't come to full agreement, that we at least try to understand someone who is unlike ourselves. I think that's always a useful idea in society, through history, right? The moments where we're able to do that, we have a lot more success than we do when we're incredibly polarized.
Isn't that amazing that in 2025, we still find this to be a profound thought?
Yeah.
On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to have more with our Sheridan College Theater and Dance Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Take a journey from the Scottish Highlands and the streets of Finland to the bowls of Whitewater, British Columbia, and a local hill turned to Rain Park in downtown Denver. It's Warren Miller's Snowsiety, Tuesday, November 25th, 7 p.m. at the Wyo Theater. This deep dive into the culture behind the sport captures the humor, approachable personalities, and memorable moments that make the snow community so unique. Get your ticket for Snowsiety online today at wyotheater.com.
Winter winter is rolling in and your car looks nervous. It still has some summer grime in the fender and in the carpet from last year. Show your car some love and take it to Craig at Sheridan Auto Spa. His professional detailing shields your paint, upholstery, and finish from winter's toughest elements. While treating your car, treat someone else too. A gift certificate from Sheridan Auto Spa makes a perfect gift. Plus, get 15% off any detail service completed through December. Book now at SheridanAutoSpa.com. Sheridan Auto Spa, where every detail counts.
There is no place like Laramie.
C-O-W-B-O-Y-S. Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys.
We are Wyoming Tough.
Like every night in the Mountain West is a dogfight, and the way we play is going to be a dogfight.
Belich high left for three. Looks good. Is good.
Go Wyo.
It's Belich. He'll just spot up for three. Good.
Your home for Wyoming basketball.
Tune into Wyoming Cowboy basketball all season long on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan College Associate Professor of Theater and the Chair of Innovation and Online Learning, Dr. Lauren Graffin Estrada, and Sheridan College Theater student, Emmy Lou Justice, one of the coolest names I think I've said in quite some time.
Thank you.
Now, when we're talking about Krunkmeyer's play, the upcoming production that's going to be taking place. Now, this is going to be at the Wyo Theater, correct?
Yeah.
Not Kennison Hall. This one's going to be at the Wyo.
Yes.
Which theme resonated with you the most out of this production?
Good question. You know, it's interesting. The more I see it, I think the more it changes. I definitely like this idea of kind of leaning towards the other. I love this idea of trusting a child's kind of courage and inventiveness. We look at that a lot. And also we have characters in the play that for the plot to move forward, they have to just accept things about their past or about themselves and put them to rest. And I think that's a really kind of beautiful idea that we face the things that maybe we are embarrassed about from before or disappointed in ourselves for, and we accept them. And we move on. But also, I kind of just like the theme of fun.
Well, I think everybody does. I think maybe that's the big thing. That's the carrot at the end of the stick, you know, come have fun.
Yeah.
But then while you're here, holy cow, you might feel something.
Yeah.
And who knows what that might be. There might be something else within a play that you know, plucks a string and you hear a harmony. Emmy Lou, what theme contained within this work sticks with you the most?
I think I'd have to echo what Lauren said, and maybe it's because I'm biased. I play one of the characters who has to accept their past and the decisions that they've made and make peace with it. And that's the one that sticks out to me the most, that continues to linger with me, that I've taken and brought into my own everyday life. How can I accept my own past and decisions I've made and make peace with it and move on and kind of confront that within myself? I think that it's one of the more subtle but not subtle. I don't know how to phrase it right. Words are hard. I think that that's one of the like more introspective moments of the of the show. That's one of the more introspective themes. And I think that also connects to that like overarching theme of like courage.
Yeah.
Theodore, he has courage, but these other characters who confront that, they have courage too. Mm-hmm. You know, if we boiled it down, maybe the theme of the show is just courage, the courage of people to do hard things, to face things, to overcome things. But specifically that like stepping up to like confront decisions you've made and how they've affected you and others and making peace with that in order to like move on and be a more fulfilled person is the one that like I think is one of my favorite parts of the show. When we did the first read through, I just remember sitting there at the YO doing the read through, like the whole cast together. And just I was so just like touched at how powerful that was. And I really hope that those who come and see the show, I hope that like they take away that like courage that is part of the show and they take that courage into their own lives. Mm. That would be really, if I could have any wish for like the audience, talking about how the audience takes the show, if I could have any wish, that's how I wish that they would take it when they step out of the theater.
Sometimes it's a lot easier to run up and face a dragon head on than it is to sit down with ourselves.
Yeah, they talk about sitting with your feelings is the path of the warrior, right?
Yeah.
Lots of people do lots of things to try and avoid them. They're terrifying. So it is. It takes a great act of courage to do that.
What was it like to direct this? That's really tough to ask. I mean, you're a professor of theater, and you've done so much and seen so much. Mm. Every production. Mm-hmm. What is that like, when you sit down to something new or something that you've even done before?
Yeah.
Nothing is taken for granted. Or is it just, sometimes it's just another play?
No, I sort of think I frustrate my students because they take a long time to choose plays. They think they would prefer I chose it a year in advance. And I'm like, no. Because I search for a really long time to find things that I think will suit the people that I'm working with semester to semester. And also, I really can't choose anything that I don't have any investment in. Yeah. There's some that I probably had less investment in than others. But I really find it hard to spend, 12 weeks or 14 weeks or whatever it is with a piece of work that I don't enjoy in some way or I can't find something interesting in. But I do also like a really wide range of work. I don't, I find interest in things in lots of different types of work. So I'm probably quite lucky that I can do that. I think I just have I am like your stereotypical, I could be a student for life. I just want to learn new things and do new things all the time.
Yeah.
So that's probably what keeps me interested is that I kind of try to take on a new challenge every semester. And the works that we do tend to vary quite drastically, right? Where we have like a promenade piece in the WCA and then the next semester we have a physical theater piece that we devise together and then we have children's and the list kind of goes on and on and on, right? Where we're just constantly looking at new forms and new genres and new styles. So I think that keeps me really interested.
And when you're interested, mm-hmm. you tend to push others around you as well in a good way. Challenge yourself as much as I am. I mean, you might not be saying that outright, but hey, we're taking on this and this is new to me even.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely had moments where when I think about the last Devise piece we did, I kind of had a conversation like, guys, I don't know how this is going to go and it's going to be a journey.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm like, let's do it. Right. Because you're creating something from scratch. So you really have no idea what the thing's going to look like at the end. You have a structure in place, but that's it. And so I think that does challenge people and push people, but it can terrify some people. So you have to be very careful the students that you do that with and at what part of their career you do it with them, because you want them to have a certain amount of readiness depending on the piece of work that you're doing.
What was your biggest challenge for this one?
Biggest challenge for this one was it was a big build. We had a big set build for this one and I do not build. I get stressed out trying to build an IKEA shoe rack. So this is 10 feet in the air, this stage design, and it was supposed to be 12 feet. And then we realized when our actors stood on top, their head hit the ceiling. So it was 12 feet, now it's 10 feet. And it's three different stories. So we had to work with different, the students learned how to build set alongside some other instructors that we brought in to teach them how to do that. But when we can't build until, week eight, because the space is shared, other people need to come in and teach classes and do things. So when we were in this space, the floors marked out, but for three different floors. So really the actors are having to imagine what the space is going to be for 8 weeks before the set actually comes in. So that was a change. I actually think we rose to the occasion pretty well. I was like, gosh, this is going to be such a difficult transition when it arrives. But I think we did a pretty good job that once we had a good enough understanding of the space that we came in, that everybody knew where they were going and when and how to manage that. But that was definitely kind of an interesting aspect this semester.
Tell me when and where I can grab the kids and we can go to this family production.
Okay, well, we have two Thursday matinees for the school district, which are full, which we're excited about. But for the public, we have a Friday night show at 7 p.m. and a Saturday show at 2 p.m. this weekend.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Right around the corner. All
right. Right around the corner. Yeah.
So that's exciting. We're going to get that up on there. Where can I get tickets? Do I need tickets?
It's free for students and children. But if you are an adult, you need to get, yeah, okay. Go to the YO.
And they're all at the YO.
Yeah, it's all at the YO. Everything you need is through the YO box office.
All right. So this production's going to be at the YO, not the college itself. And that's where you need to pick up the tickets, folks. I'm going to get that up online for you later today. So you know where you can get this and you can go see this production of Snow with the family. And it's a story of courage. And as I've said before, those are my favorite. Doc, Emmy Lou, thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Floyd.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak to the president of the Story Days and Events 501c3 about an upcoming Christmas market. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
What would Christmas be without tradition? Without the comfort of home, the joy of family, and smiles of children? Open your heart this year during the 26th annual Christmas Wish Campaign. Due to temporary circumstances beyond their control, some families, friends, and neighbors will struggle to make ends meet, let alone have a Merry Christmas. It's tradition for the Christmas Wish Campaign to bring the spirit of the holidays to those individuals. In the past, we've assisted several people with everything from bills and food to clothing, Christmas trees, and toys for children.
Please send your Christmas wish nominations and donations to P.O. Box 5086 Sheridan or submit them online at SheridanMedia.com as soon as possible. All wishes must be submitted in writing and must include your name and phone number. There are follow-up questions our committee will need to have answered to properly assess each wish. Wishes must be received by Friday, November 28th.
Partners for this year's Christmas Wish Campaign are First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Advanced Auto Body, Wyoming Corporate Office, Odell Construction, and A-Line Roofing and Exteriors.
Woke radical liberals are screwing up this country, but Senator John Thune is fighting back. He backed one big, beautiful tax cut for working families, ending Social Security taxes for nearly all seniors, and taxes on tips and overtime gone. So call Senator John Thune at 202-224-2321 and thank him for backing working family tax cuts and putting America first. Paid for by American Prosperity Alliance.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine Training. Part of your job is to bridge the communication gap between humans and dogs.
I have this like obsession with trying to interpret why a dog's doing what it's doing. Even though they do possess so many similar emotions that we do, they also have them for different reasons. Some of the behaviors that dogs exhibit may look like they're doing something based on what we would do, but it's the opposite. Sometimes you just say, here, look what just happened right there. That's why she's doing this. And the owner will go, that is crazy. Yeah. I wondered why she did that. They look at me like I'm magic. It's not me, it's the dog.
Well, it requires somebody who has that knowledge to kind of like turn that light on.
Yeah, I consider myself the liaison between a dog and human.
Well, and it's one of those vital things where, you know, without that, they'd never get there.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you're right. All I'm trying to do is enhance the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool job to have.
Learn more at countrypetin.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friend at First Federal Bank Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. First thing apart this morning, I am joined by the president of the Story Days and Events 501c3, Mark Cottle. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back here. Thank you, Floyd. Appreciate it.
I've been practicing this, so I'm going to say it. Story will be holding a Weihnachten Christmas market.
You got it.
All right.
That's fantastic. How you do it. It's Weihnachten Christmas market.
Essentially, it's a German Christmas market.
Absolutely. And it's good to have the German names in there, too, as well.
Absolutely.
And I'm really glad that one of the people, or actually two of the people that started this last year, Margot Robinson and Sue Schrum, did an awesome job last year doing the Christmas market. And this year, this is the first year that it's going to be under the Story Days and Events Committee. So we're helping facilitate that. But the neat thing about this is Sue used to be a flight attendant. She went to Germany a lot. And so this is something that this is kind of a vision that she had. And bringing all these German names into it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice for guys like me, but it is absolutely fun.
Me as well.
Because, you guys are going to kind of transform a story for this, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We're going to have decorations. It's going to look very festive for the Christmas vibe, and we're going to add a lot of the German theme to it. And so there's going to be, the theme of from the food to the decorations to the props, it's going to be really exciting.
That's going to be great. A little German town right here in the mountains of the big ones. I think it's amazing. How would you describe the atmosphere of a traditional German Christmas market for those who haven't experienced one? So you said they kind of did this on some level for the past 2 years. What were those like?
Yeah, so last year it was really good. And if you actually, it's really neat because I actually did some research on this as well, because I went to Germany once, but it wasn't during Christmas.
Yeah.
But the neat thing about the German Christmas markets, they actually have one of these down in Denver. And what they do, and it's very similar to Germany too, is when all the vendors outside, they set up outside, and they set up like a vendor booth, but it's very... they set it up to fit the vibe of the community. They leave these vendor booths up for a while and they decorate them, and it's, it looks really, really cool.
Walking into a booth is like an event itself.
Yeah. I mean, it's outside. And so you walk through, like, it could be like a town square, and all these vendors are set up and they are, they're selling anything that you can think of, and they could have, they have drinks and they have a lot of other things. And so it'd be interesting if you have some spare time to go to just look up German Christmas markets, what they do over there, because it's really neat. And like I said, they have one of these, I think, that goes on every year in Denver. And but we're going to try to do that right here in Story.
I think that's going to be really amazing. Neat. Now, why was North Piney Road chosen as the location?
North Piney Road is a common part of Story. It's where the post office is, the Women's Club building is, the Story store. And so everything up there in that area is North Piney. And there's the Story Art Station. So just like during the Story Days where we have the parade going up North Piney, a lot of people kind of are around the Women's Club building. That's kind of like a central hub of a lot of events that go on in Story. We're going to do the same thing here during the Weihnachten Christmas Market. We're going to have the main building, I guess, is the Women's Club building. We're going to have 14 vendors there.
Oh, wow.
And then outside, we're going to have a vendor, and there's going to be Nuremberg sausages, a lot of German food, and, I'm not going to even try to pronounce some of these names.
Some of them are pretty tough.
And Sue tried to help me out with this, but she's going to have to forgive me on I'm not even trying. But it's really cool. I mean, North Piney is a really, it's a very common pathway into Story. It's kind of where everything's at. And, that's where, you drive by the Lador, and then you get to the post office, the Women's Club building, Story store. There's also Grace Chapel on the corner, which there's some things going on there as well, which I'll bring up here in a little bit. But yeah, it's North Piney is a great place to do things.
Now, what types of traditional German foods? Are you guys going to have schnitzel?
I Let me see. I have some notes here. I'm going to see. Let me see. I have a list here. Sue did a wonderful job getting me lined out here. We're going to do grilled brats, Nuremberg sausages, like I mentioned before, sauerkraut, German pretzels, potato pancakes with applesauce, and with applesauce or sour cream. We're going to have candied almonds and German-style beer, Glühwein, which is a traditional hot mulled wine. I think that's how you say that. And this is a culture learning curve here. So it's going to be really cool. A lot of people are coming together to prepare for this. And
now you guys said that you're going to have like a warm, comfortable outdoor space using heaters, fire pits, picnic tables, things like that.
Yes, we did that last. Sue and Margo did that last year, and it worked out really good. Where it's just helps, you know, because we don't know what the weather's going to do. Obviously, it's Wyoming. It could be four seasons in one day. But it has what the neat thing about it is not only will people see a lot of really cool vendors inside the Women's Club building, but they're going to be able to go outside, and there's going to be vendors outside as well. And, you know, it's fun to be able to stand around a fire, stay warm, and listen to music and things like that. So they'll be able to eat and warm up around the fire. And so you don't have to worry about getting cold.
Oh.
Because definitely plenty of places to kind of warm up your fingers and enjoy the festivities of the Christmas market.
I went to Munich when I was younger. And if you haven't had the pleasure of eating a German pretzel while enjoying German beer, I'm going to recommend that you head up there to Story and take part in this, because it's amazing. These pretzels will change your life. The guys in the unit talked about these things for years, not months, years after. And if you got the kids, what can children look forward to during the activities at Grace Chapel?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a couple things, exciting things for kids. And so if you have kids, I highly encourage you to bring them by for this. And before I go any further, just to let you know, it's December 6th from 3 to 8. But for the kids, at Grace Chapel, we're going to have a puppet show. And there is going to be, the puppet show is going to be the Little Red Riding Hood's Christmas Cookies. Little Red Riding Hood's Christmas Cookies. And there's two show times for that. And that is at 3:30 and 5:30. 3:30 and 5:30. And I'll be sure to get this up on storywyoming.org. I don't have the times for this yet up there, but I'll get those on there as soon as I can. Another thing that's going on for kids is that they will be able to, right on the corner there is Grace Chapel. They can go right across the street there, catty corner from the Grace Chapel. They can go to the Story Volunteer Fire Department, which they are doing s'mores. They're going to give out graham crackers and marshmallows and things like that for kids to warm up something in the fire. And, you know, being there all around all the firefighters, you don't have to worry about anything there. Safety first. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And this is going to be a fundraiser for them. But there's going to be a lot of things that parents can do here at the Weihnachten Christmas Market that won't cost anything. I know things are a little tough out there. And so we don't want to add any burden to that. But we want families to have fun without worrying about how much it's going to cost. And so this is going to be a great family family fun, great for kids, and it's going to be really cool. Another thing that's going on at the Story Volunteer Fire Department is there's going to be Santa there. Santa is going to be reading the night before Christmas, and that starts at 4:30. So Santa at the Story Volunteer Fire Department is going to read the night before Christmas at 4:30. And so you don't want to miss that. That's going to be an incredible experience.
Music and caroling.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be happening around?
Music, absolutely. We're going to have some of the best local musicians there in story to play inside the Women's Club building where there's going to be the vendors. And there's going to be music from 3 to 8. And so there's going to be we have a lot of really talented musicians in the area. And so we have a lineup of people to play from 3 to 8 inside the Women's Club building. And there's also going to be music played outside, which is going to really be cool because when people leave the building in the Women's Club, they can go outside and continue to hear music and keep the energy up. And so yeah, the music is going to be great.
Now, we've also got tree sales.
Tree sales, yes. The Story Volunteer Fire Department is going to be selling Christmas trees. They've done this for a while, and they do a great job. They go, I don't know where they get those, but they get them themselves. They cut them down, and they have those displayed right there by the building, the Story Volunteer Fire Department building on the south side. And so, you know, the local community, we like to help out. And if you need a Christmas tree this year and you don't know where to go, definitely think about coming by Story and pick one up from the Story Volunteer Fire Department.
Hayrides.
Yes, this is something that has been a huge draw for people because we've done this during Story Days. Rennie Barbula, she does a great job. She's wonderful with horses. And she's going to do hayrides from 3 to 8 as well. And so it's just a fun thing to do. You know, you get a sea story a little bit. I don't know what the route is off the top of my head, and I wasn't aware of. But here, you can get into the Christmas spirit. You can get in on a hayride. You can just enjoy being around your friends. And it's a great thing to do with kids as well.
Now, Mark, let's see. I think this is the third or fourth event that you and I have sat and spoke about. When we look at Story Days, when we look at the other events that we've talked about, does it feel like these are getting bigger?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I was actually thinking about that last week and just kind of the direction where we've been going with these events. And none of this can have all this is a team effort. And we have I've brought this up before in past Public Pulse episodes. But the thing is, the neat thing about Story is there are so many people, the locals, that love to step up and help the community. Maybe it's other places, I'm sure it is, but I definitely see it in Story where, you know, we get people stepping up and helping out from little things to the big things to help schedule, to build props for the Fine Octane Christmas Market. And it's just really fun to watch. And so I think one of the things is, you know, people are just, maybe it just could be timing. I think people just want, people in Story just want successful events, and the volunteers do a great job of putting everything together and coordinating everything. And the neat thing about having the Fine Octane Christmas Market kind of facilitated or under the Story Days and Events committee is we're able to, one, be a 501c3. We have the liability. We're all covered with everything that we need to have a great event and connect the dots and cross our T's and have a great event. So I just think it's maybe it's just a timing thing.
Yeah.
Where people just, you know, they want to see Story just not necessarily be on the map, but just have some exciting things to do locally.
Yeah. And Story is fairly unique even here in Sheridan County. I mean, you guys are really tucked up in there into the trees, which I absolutely love. You feel like you're kind of in a mountain town, which really that's what Story is.
It is. It's a really, it's a wonderful mountain town. Man, I'll tell you what, in the winter when you're driving in Story and you have a fresh snowfall and you have, you know, the trees covered and it's so calm, especially on a calm day where you're driving around, the pine trees are covered with snow, and you're driving around all over Story. It just feels like something out of a story or like a like a kid's book or something that you would imagine in your head, like a dream or something. And I many people have said, oh yeah, it seems so magical up there. And it is. I mean, it's peaceful and people love coming up there. And I think there's a lot of really, you know, with the tunnel in and the wagon box, kind of finally having some things going there consistently there, hopefully, you know, it helps draw people into town. And with events like this, you know, like the story days, the story yard sale, and especially this Vinocton Christmas market, it helps draw people in the story and they get to enjoy it. They get to actually look forward to doing something when they visit story.
All right. Now, one more time, where and when do I have to be to take part in this great event?
So the Vinocton Christmas market, the story Christmas market, is going to be on December 6th between 3 and 8. And there's going to be activities for kids. There's vendors, live music, and where there's going to be a Santa reading the night before Christmas, and there's going to be a lot of things, the kids' activities. And another thing also I want to bring up too, Megan Menser with NOLA Catering. She has a place there right there in the Lador, and this is a non-Story Days event, but non-Story Days and events, a committee event. But Megan is awesome at her catering. But she's also doing a German meal as well. And people can go to her Facebook page, NOLA Catering, and look at something on her website as well.
Fantastic. Mark, thanks for coming in this morning, partner. It's always great talking to you.
Appreciate it, Floyd. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
At Wyoming Rehab, our mission is to keep you moving, playing, and living life to the fullest. Our expert team at Wyoming Rehab specializes in physical, occupational, and speech therapy, offering personalized care that gets you back to the activities you enjoy most. Schedule a free screening with our team of kind and compassionate experts at Wyoming Rehab and leave with treatment recommendations. Call Wyoming Rehab at 307-674-1632 or visit SheridanHospital.org to learn more today.
The holiday meals taste better when they're healthy and homemade. At the Health Nut, you'll find fresh, homemade pies and sides, Beeler's spiral-cut hams, organic turkeys, and the freshest fruits and vegetables around. And when you stop in, don't forget our healthy soup, salad, juice, and smoothie bar. Eat well, feel great, and shop healthy this holiday season. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall, fresh, local, delicious. Oh, and check out our gifts and cards, too.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWYO Sheridan.